Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Edit.
4, 2.
It's time for your Sunrise Guys.
I'm not arguing that our package is the best, although I think we do have a very strong package to offer.
Dirt and Sprague.
We have the best package.
Every time I get excited.
Andy Dirt Johnson. Brandon Sprague.
I'm not fourth fiddle. I want to be number one.
It works.
Dirt and Sprague.
When you're about to get freaky at night, you think about it.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number two. Dirt and Sprague here, 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. If you're watching on YouTube, you already know this, but if you're driving in your car, you got us with a cup of coffee in your living room or kitchen, Dirt is back.
Hey, what's up?
He's back from his Hawaiian vacation. His 2 weeks without seeing each other.
That was a little weird.
It's a little odd, got to admit.
We don't
do
that very often.
No,
that's
we don't.
Kind of a random timing. I was actually going to go to Hawaii this week, and then I remembered it's Masters week, and I'm like, that's not happening.
Oh, that was the original
that
plan?
That we were going to go this week, and then I was like, no, I'm not flying back the day of Masters Sunday. That's not happening, buddy. We're moving that thing up a week.
Well, I thank you for doing that.
You know, hey, we got it out of the way, and now we got Masters week.
So we have a lot to get to in the second hour of the radio program. Coming up at 7:15. We've got Noah Weisskopf of Tar Heels 24/7. They're going to hire Mike Malone.
Mike Malone going to college basketball.
Now, is this their Dana Altman? He's like the eighth choice because everybody told them no? Or where was Mike Malone? I'd never heard the name until literally it broke yesterday that they were looking at Mike Malone.
My guess would be I think they did. It's very evident. They took a shot at every big name that they could think of. They threw a lot of money at those coaches.
Yep.
And I think those coaches realized that we can kind of win wherever we're at. Like, Dusty May just won a national title. Tommy Lloyd was in a Final Four. Like, there's no reason to leave. You're at a good job. And so I think the idea was, how do we land a big fish? They struck out on that. And then I think they wisely thought of not needing to do the North Carolina thing. Like, this was kind of the Michigan problem for a long time, and ironically, Harbaugh ended up coming back. But there were a long time where they were trying to hire, like, we need a Michigan man to be our head coach. Of like, nah, just go hire a good football coach, and you'll be okay. I know Harbaugh ended up being a Michigan guy that won a national title, but you don't need to find an alumni. Find somebody who knows how to coach. And a lot of coaches have talked about in the college basketball landscape now how much easier it is to recruit, because so much of it is just dollars and cents. What are you spending? What do you have in your budget? What are you offering me? And as long as you have that going for you, you don't have to have a background of recruiting in college basketball or history of the game. So
no.
I think ultimately it's a great hire for them. Like, that guy knows how to coach. He's a smart basketball mind. He was looking for another gig, and they're clearly willing to pay him maybe more than an NBA team was.
Well, but you missed Friday's take where I pronounced on the show that Tommy Lloyd, we were going to come in Monday, and Tommy Lloyd was going to be the UNC coach. And maybe 10 minutes after the show, he announced
it. It did not
an
last an hour.
You thought he was going to take the job, huh?
Dude, did you not?
I was on vacation. I was not plugged in.
Like, he had two press conferences. Two different press conferences.
Was he doing, why would I not be the coach at Arizona?
He goes, I'm the coach of Arizona right now.
Ooh.
And the next coach of Arizona is also going to keep it going. And I'm locked into this team. Like, he kept saying all this stuff.
I did hear him say a quote. I don't know if it was before or after the deal.
Yeah.
Where he said, they have Michael Jordan. Steve Kerr's our Michael Jordan. I'm like, what? All right.
I think that was after he
was that after the extension.
Okay.
Steve Kerr's
like, okay. Steve Kerr's great. I you know, good shooter, but come on, man.
so yeah, to your point, like, it didn't make much sense to have to leave, but I wouldn't blame anybody for looking at UNC as a blue blood, the tradition, the history, and saying, well, yeah, I have it here, but that's North Carolina.
The Roy Williams one was so unique because he was a North Carolina guy. So he had a great thing going to Kansas, but it was the coming home angle for him that was the selling factor.
Okay, so answer me this.
Yeah.
Because I want to get to your Big Ten point. If Ryan Day left randomly for the NFL after next year.
Sure.
I don't know if they would go an NFL guy. I don't know who applies for the job.
They have it coordinators, which is kind of unique. I mean, both their coordinators are in it. They got, what's his nuts?
Patricia.
The FedEx kid, and then Patricia.
Patricia's the highest paid coordinator in college football now.
Both of them don't recruit. They're just NFL guys.
But if Ryan Day left, I mean, you definitely would have coaches at powerhouse pro. Like, Sark might be interested.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because he's at Texas, right? But,
right.
Like, you might have that version in college football, and that's all I'm saying about college basketball. To your point, recruiting being easier, yes, but it is UNC.
I think that's the, I don't disagree with that take. I just think it's the idea of what's the difference between Arizona and UNC?
Actually, not a lot.
Right?
Nothing.
Michigan just won a national title. Like, what's it? There's no, so if you're going after that line of coach at North Carolina, I don't think you're Ohio State. I think if you're going a little bit further down into the pool, or a little bit more on the shallow end, if you will, and you're trying to get a, you know, who's the head coach at Wisconsin, or who's like a random place like that, you could go snag a guy like that in a heartbeat.
Hoiberg, maybe.
Yes, they went shooting for the moon, and I don't blame him, because that's what you should do, make them say no.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're at Arizona right now and you got a good thing going, or Michigan, you got a good thing going, I just, why start it all over and risk the goodwill that you've built up at your place to go start somewhere new, where the resources are likely the same?
Well, let's, before we get to Noah Weisskopf, let's talk about your point on the Big Ten. Although I do have a quick announcement. It was a good day in Corvallis yesterday. You know why?
Beaver Nation, we're number one. We're national champs. Let's
yes,
go.
We are.
You guys got
I'm
a title.
We got
tomorrow.
It.
We're turning up. We're after it.
We are turning up.
I can't freaking wait. Go Beavs. Go Blue. Let's go.
Top of the cock. Let's go.
You got your Dan Lanning national title. Look at you guys, man. It feels good, doesn't it? You're basking in the glory of a title.
Feels great.
You bringing that trophy back to Corvallis?
Got a 4-star. Josiah Lake's coming back. We're winning it.
I mean, he is off to a really good start.
He's off to
Lake
a great
coming
start.
Back and signing a 4-star kid right out of the gate's a great start for him.
So your point on the Big Ten, your big takeaway from the tournament is the Big Ten right now is riding a real wave of they've won 3 straight football championships. They've won now a national championship in basketball, just kind of taken over the major portions of college. UCLA just won the women's national championship by 30 points against Dawn Staley. So the Big Ten right now riding the wave of being the top conference in college athletics.
Well, I just think they have more money to spend than any other conference.
Do they have more? So you're talking about with NIL?
Just in NIL, yes.
Okay.
Not in, I mean, in TV revenue, they're doing as good as anybody outside of Oregon and Washington, who are on the half scale right now.
Right.
But everybody else is full scale, and you're making basically the same as the SEC. SEC might be slightly higher than them. I don't know off the top of my head. I just think it's from an NIL alumni base. Like, we saw this with Indiana. There was this idea Indiana in football was this, because they've been so bad for so long. This Cinderella story, this little engine that could. And I remember doing stories and segments in the middle of football season last year.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, you know how much their operating budget was in football last year? It was like top 5 in the country. They're spending like $90 million a year on their football program. So, like, there's a lot of money to go around. And then all of a sudden you wake up, this sleeping giant, and has this massive alumni base. Remember how many Indiana fans were in Atlanta for the semifinal game against Oregon?
Yep.
It was 98-2. Like, they sold out the entire place. So I think there's just a lot of money. There's a lot of alumni bases. There's a lot of people with cash to spend. And they're energetic about sports. And now you have the ability to do it. We've gone through this in Michigan and their ability to sign guys in football. We've now seen it in basketball. Like, I just think when you have more money to spend than other people in the modern age of the sport where it is allowed and not in a McDonald's bag or in a briefcase that slipped under a table or slipped, you know, into somebody's door, you're going to have more ability to win. And so I don't know if they're going to go on a dominant run in basketball. It's crazy. It's been 25 years since they've won a national title. But that, to me, if you're asking for something that we might remember from this tournament, that to me is it, if that is the trend that continues. Because we've now seen it in football where 3 different teams have won consecutive national titles, or the Big Ten's won 3 straight, and it's been 3 different teams to do it, and they might have another team that pulls it off next year. And so they've dominated that sport at the top, and now they've just won their first college basketball title in a long time.
Yeah, I think that's the tough thing is basketball. I have a hard time investing much dominant factor in. Not that Dusty May and Michigan won't win it again.
It's a totally fair take, because it's a randomness of a one-game tournament, and it's
such a
anything
weird
can happen.
I mean, you looked at UConn as winning back-to-back. It's like, oh my God, we hadn't had that since 06
or
07.
The transient nature of currently, you know, the transfers and NILs, and if you do get, you know, super talented freshmen, are they likely to go to the NBA draft? It's so hard to sustain a program in a different way. Look, football, there's
football's
transfers.
Different. Football's not going anywhere. Indiana's not going anywhere. Ohio State's going nowhere. Oregon's going to be right
you
back
can
there.
Still
Michigan might be back
to
on
coach.
The rise.
Build and sustain. It's harder to do, I think, in football than it's been in previous years, but you can still have some continuity year to year and build programs.
So I think it's a question of, like, who's the contender in the Big Ten that does, I mean, Oregon does not spend a lot on NIL and basketball. I think that's been pretty evident of their lack of recruiting and bringing guys in and all that, and that's one of the issues that they're facing.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're talking about the top of the conference, they all have money to spend.
Oh, yeah.
Purdue's one of the biggest spenders in the sport. Michigan is one of the big – Michigan State's one of the – like, they all have money. And Illinois made it to a Final Four. Like, they're not going anywhere. I think all of those teams have a shot. I think your point of the randomness of the tournament – will lead itself to not a conference not going on a dominant run.
Yeah.
I just find it interesting because forever the SEC dominated college athletics for like 15, 20 years. In baseball, in football, they won how many straight national titles they win in football?
Like 13,
until
right?
Clemson
14,
finally broke, or Florida State, whoever was the first one, and then Clemson got a couple, and you're like, all right. But the Big Ten hadn't won one in a really long time, a decade until Michigan won one from the last Ohio State title. And so there were these gaps where it was kind of dominated by other teams, and now we've seen the Big Ten start to gobble up championships.
Yeah, because you, I mean, just count these ones. Michigan, Nebraska, Michigan State, Illinois, Wisconsin, Purdue.
I mean, Purdue was just in a national title game a couple years ago. Yeah,
Iowa made it to the Elite Eight.
They did.
They were in the middle of that conference. Indiana might have finally get their ass together and start caring about college basketball.
Right.
Not to mention, you know, you got SoCal teams down there, and we'll see if Oregon can get back to the top or get near it again.
Well, I mean, this is part of the difficulty connecting locally to the Oregon basketball conversation of, like, good luck.
Yeah.
If you're not going to care and invest in that, like, you're just going to get your teeth kicked in every year.
I feel
this
bad.
This is not the old Pac-12, buddy.
Feels like this is kind of the end for Altman. I think he'll get one more year. And
I mean, I did a segment while you were out that it should. I mean, he lost his two best players from his team in the transfer portal.
No, I know. Well, that roster's going to be so turned over. I have no faith that they can compete with those upper echelon teams.
God, no.
So I think next year's going to be their last year with him. And I think a lot of fans will be right in to say, thank you. You're our GOAT. Here's the statue, all that. I also think there will be a large portion of those same fans saying, so we literally just wasted a season.
Right.
Versus reacting. Maybe more.
What's the point if we know this is going to happen a year from now to do it for another year?
Yeah.
And to let the anger and the vitriol get even louder and the animosity grow.
I think the tough thing would more be from the Oregon angle of this when you look up at the Big Ten in basketball, because you know where you're at in football, right? Mm-hmm. In basketball, it'd be more, even if you did move on from him, who would you hire?
If you're not funding it, it doesn't matter.
That's what I'm asking. Well, but I'm asking, that's like, how attractive is that job to people? Like, back in the day before they hired Altman, they went for Izzo, right? And he came close and he decided not to. And so, and they went down their list of
Tubby
guys.
Tubby Smith tried to get, and he said no.
Right. And back then, you could kind of understand it. Now, in this wave of TV revenue mixed with spending,
I think it's a question of what are you willing to invest into it. If you're willing to invest into it, you could probably get some decent name coaches to come in.
Well, are you going to tell people you care? I mean, that's kind of what I wonder is, like, how attractive is that job, really? They were third to last in the Big Ten this year.
It's in a really weird spot right now.
It is in a weird spot.
And they're not going to fire Altman. They're going to keep him around for another year. I don't see how in any way, shape, or form next year goes differently than this year. And if you have back-to-back years, all of a sudden that the consistency argument for Altman of, well, he won 20 games every year, and it's gone.
I think it's already there for people.
It is. And it's also part of, like, joining a tougher conference. Again, the Pac-12 was not dominant in college basketball. You had Arizona, maybe UCLA, and a random Colorado here or there. It wasn't like going through the Pac-12 was a murderer's row, and you could get into the tournament and win 20 games every year. That's not the case. There's a half dozen teams, if not 10, in the Big Ten every year that will be better than you and will dominate you. And it's just going to be difficult to climb your way out of the cellar.
19-41 combined Oregon, Washington, and USC in the Big Ten this year.
Yeah.
And UCLA was the outlier, 13-7.
The randomness, too, of it, though, is everybody said they won't, the new schools in the Big Ten will have a hard time in Olympic sports. They've been dominating in Olympic sports. And then there's this basketball argument, and UCLA just won the national title by 30 in women's hoops.
Which is really funny, the Olympic sport thing. I was like, dude, that was literally their only thing our commissioner cared about.
That's
for
all
years.
We were ever good at.
What a crazy take.
Still good at it. Breaking news.
Have to kind of wait and see. But yeah, the Big Ten riding high right now. Three straight football championships, and now the men and the women's national championships. In basketball, residing in that conference. UNC is going to hire Mike Malone. Where did this come from? What option is he for them? Why Mike Malone? Noah Weisskopf joins us coming up next on 105.1 The Fan.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, Let's go over the ground rules.
The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 FM and 1080 AM.
Well, don't forget, it is a Mail Sack Tuesday. Any and all questions are welcome at 503-864-6326. We get to our beloved choking Blazers last night at the bottom of the hour. But
we thought we could hire this guy for a while.
We did.
Wasn't he the big fish on our market this offseason?
Are we as important as North Carolina?
I don't think that we are.
Yeah, no, I don't think we are either. Noah Weisskopf joining us here, covering University of North Carolina for Tar Heel 24/7. Part of 24/7 Network, CBS Sports. He joins us now. Noah, good morning. Thanks for hopping on with us, man. I heard about Tommy Lloyd and a little Dusty May and a Billy Donovan. And yesterday I'm putting peanut butter on toast and Pete Thamel's like, it's Mike Malone. And I'm like, where did this come from? Was Mike Malone always being one of the top candidates, or did this come out of like he's their sixth choice because they were being told a lot?
Yeah, I think it was kind of in the middle. To be honest with you, when we got word that it was going to be Mike Malone, it to us as well came out of left field. We were pretty surprised by it just because that name hadn't really been mentioned to us, to any other really media outlets over the last 48 hours. So it did sort of come out of left field on that front. Now, the more we learn about it, the more we know that he was sort of there the whole time. I can't tell you guys that he was the number one choice, obviously, right? They, and I'll be honest with you guys, they thought that they had Tommy Lloyd. They thought that that thing was going to get done. They thought that was going to be their hire. And that was their absolute number one option. That is who they wanted. They got really close to a deal. Ultimately, Arizona came in and said, hey, we'll give you everything you ever wanted. And then some. And so he ended up staying to take it. They had to ask Dusty May because it's Dusty May. Now, if they didn't make the Final Four, maybe there was a different conversation. I'm not sure, but they obviously win the whole thing, and Dusty May has absolutely no reason to leave, so he stays put. On the Billy Donovan front, I think that he wasn't willing to say yes or no until after the NBA season, and ultimately Carolina decided that was just a little bit too long to wait. So they settle on Michael Malone. Not settle. I shouldn't say settle. They get Michael Malone. I can't tell you for sure if they settled or not. But ultimately, they feel like they have their guy, and they feel like that NBA experience and everything like that, they'll be able to help, get some of those relationships in college and use that NBA experience to show kids, hey, look what I've done in the NBA. This is who I've developed. This is what I've done. I have a ring, and so forth. So that's the expectation. Nothing is official yet. They haven't officially announced it. The expectation, though, is that Michael Malone will be the coach.
Interesting. I'm curious where the reaction has been from the fan base, because and it doesn't always have to be accurate, right? Like, we can love a hire or hate a hire, and then we end up being right or wrong years down the road. But they went this route in football, and you hire Belichick, and I know there's a whole different story there with the girlfriend and the off-the-field stuff, but I remember at the time, it's like, well, it's Bill Belichick. He's a great football coach, and then year one is a disaster. And maybe year two isn't. We'll see how they do this season, and maybe they turn things around. Malone's a big name. He just won an NBA title not that long ago. But to my I don't know if he's ever coached in college basketball, so I'm just like, what's been the reaction? It's a notable name. They're going to pay a lot of money for him when they get him. Is it a, yes, we got our guy, or why are we doing the pro thing again? Like, how are Tar Heel fans reacting to the news?
Yeah, well, first I'll add, I forgot to add that Malone didn't have a buyout, and that also played into it. The buyouts that they had with a guy like Mark Binington at Vanderbilt and some of those other guys, at Texas Tech and so forth, they had pretty large buyouts that are near $10 million, so that was a big sticking point as well. In terms of the fan reaction, I think, as any hire always is, it's pretty split. But I would say more Tar Heel fans are probably happy with it just because of his success in the NBA than aren't. Now, you look at football, and a lot of people, the ones that aren't happy with it compare it to football. And I will say there's definitely some similarities, but obviously a lot of differences too. When Belichick was hired at Carolina, the administration and people around the hiring were pretty much shell-shocked by him. Just they were starstruck, right? And I think this is a lot different because Michael Malone spent some time in Chapel Hill last year. Not sure. This was around a bunch yesterday. But Michael Malone's daughter plays volleyball at North Carolina. So he's been around the campus. He's been around the athletic department a lot over the last year. She's a sophomore. And he actually was invited by Hubert Davis last year to some practices and spoke to the team on different occasions, watched some practices. So he was actually around a little bit, maybe four or five practices last year. And yes, Michael Malone did coach in college, but it came about 25, 26 years ago. He was at Queens, or he was raised in Queens. He was at Manhattan for a couple of years. He was at Providence for a year or two. So very minimal college experience. And I don't even know if you can qualify that as college experience, given that it was 25 years ago and where we're at now with the college game.
Noah Weisskopf, our guest here, Tar Heels 24/7, as North Carolina finally fired Hubert Davis, who just was not thriving there the last couple seasons, and they had one of their worst finishes this year. You pair that with the success that Shire's had so far with Duke and recruiting and getting the Elite Eight and Final Four, and North Carolina finally makes a move here. They're going Mike Malone. So what do we think about the stack? Because the history of NBA-based guys, I know you mentioned some slight experience for Malone in college, but largely NBA guys that then go to the college ranks. Like right now, one big name that you could throw out is BYU's Kevin Young, who was an NBA assistant for a long time, a G League coach, and he's having a pretty good little run here at BYU early on. What is Malone's staff, you think, going to consist of? Mostly college guys? Do we have an idea of where he's going to go? Because even if he's got some stuff in his past, we know there's going to be that transition to go from dealing with Nikola Jokic to trying to get a five-star to transfer to his program.
Yeah, I would imagine it's a mixture of both. And this is just pure speculation. Nothing like that has been finalized. There's been some talks. Now, I'll tell you that it's really important for a lot of people in the Carolina administration and the Carolina in general for him to have some of that tradition with him, because honestly, this is the first time that Carolina has went, quote, outside the family with a basketball hire in 72 years. So this is brand new. The next coach that they've always had in its recent history has been someone that understands, someone that gets it. That's really important when it comes to Carolina basketball. So I imagine that he's going to want somebody, or at least a couple of people within his program, whether it's in front office roles or whatever it might be, who have been at Carolina a while, and he wants to retain them. So they have Sean May on their staff, who's a Carolina legend. I would imagine he's up for maybe being retained. There's some people behind the scenes that put stuff together that have been at Carolina for more than three decades. I would imagine that those people might remain just to sort of maintain that Carolina tradition. But you're right. I think that he's going to go a split. I think there's going to be some NBA coaching experience there on his staff. But I also think that definitely it's pivotal for him to have some college coaching experience, especially in the last couple of years, or someone who's been in the ranks right now to be able to help him through this process. And, there, you know, at the end of the day, sure, he's going to be coaching basketball, and that's something he's done for a long time. But there is differences when it comes to college, dealing with agents, dealing with the NIL, dealing with kids, frankly, that are really, really young that he's never had to deal with. So I do think that there's going to be a mixture. I would imagine that he wants some experience, though, from the college game to be on his staff to help him through some of the early differences that he encounters.
It's a different sport now where you don't have to build for 3 or 4 years like maybe you used to get a program to where you want it to go, and you have the ability to overhaul your roster in one off season. What are realistic expectations for him in year one?
Well, the expectations around here, you better win at the very, very top, or else there's going to be some outrage by a lot of people. That's just the expectation for Carolina basketball as is. So the expectation for everyone around here is that they will be back in the tournament and they'll be able to make a deep run in the tournament. That's the only viable expectation for Carolina basketball. They want to get back to their tradition, their history. The most March Madness wins by a program belongs in North Carolina, and they want to keep building on that every single year, and there's really no excuse for it. So they won't make excuses for them. Hey, it's his first year, it's this, it's that. They need to be back in the tournament conversation every year and be able to make a deep run.
All right, good stuff. Noah Weisskopf, Tar Heel 24/7. The North Carolina Tar Heels, watching another team win a national championship, have decided we're going Mike Malone. They're going to shake it up a little bit and go the former Nugget coach as the next one to lead the Tar Heels. You can find Noah on social media. Good work, Noah. Thanks so much for hopping on with us this morning. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, there we go. Noah Weisskopf, Tar Heel 24/7. Mike Malone's a hell of an interesting decision by them.
I'm not saying
it's going to be bad.
Who the hell knows? Yeah.
You know.
Swing, he just won a Denver's title. Was that 4 years ago?
2021.
2021, 5 years ago. Yeah. So, I mean, that's, you know, it's not like it's ancient history. This isn't a Doc Rivers national or a NBA title from over a decade ago. It's not that deep into the past. Like, take a swing, man. What the hell? See what can work. You got some money to spend. I've always maintained, I said this going into the tournaments, why I like seeing Hurley get to the national title game. Coaches are the story in college basketball. Patino, Calipari, Hurley, they are the story. Dusty May maybe goes on a dynasty run. We'll wait and see what Michigan could do. Having Mike Malone in college basketball is really cool. He's a fiery guy. He's passionate.
He's a bit of a red ass.
He's a red ass. Dude, I love red ass. Give me Tom Izzo. Give me Hurley. Give me those guys yelling at each other on the sideline. I think it's great for college basketball. Does he win? Who the hell knows? Your guess is as good as mine, but I think it's cool for the sport.
I find it very interesting. The expectations for Mike Malone, I think, are going to be there. Year one,
no matter who North Carolina hires, though, no doubt. Like, if you don't make a deep run, you're going to get turf.
I also think it's abundantly clear. This is just my opinion. I think they thought they had Tommy Lloyd, and he bailed, and they were like,
where do we go?
Billy Donovan ain't leaving Chicago. Dusty May ain't leaving Michigan. If he does, it's going to be for Indiana if he ever does leave.
I didn't know he had been hanging out on campus because his daughter goes there. Hubert invites him into practice, stabs him in the back. Come on, man.
Speak of Doc Rivers, it's what happened in Milwaukee. All right, good stuff from Noah Weisskopf, Tar Heel 24/7. The Blazers blow an 18-point lead in Denver last night.
Woo-hoo-hoo.
Let's talk about that. I got something interesting I want to talk about from the Blazer angle on one player. We'll get to that coming up next. It's a mail sack Tuesday.
Mail sack.
So get your mail sack questions in at 503-864-6326. We'll get to that in the final hour of the radio program today. Our beloved Trailblazers blew an 18-point lead on the road against the Denver Nuggets yesterday. Had that going for us.
That they did. I find it funny that the NBA plays games on the night of the national championship.
They used to not.
Right, that's what I thought.
That was a sacred night long times
ago.
Look,
I'm going to be honest with you. I got back from Hawaii, discombobulated, Sunday night. I think I went to bed at 2 a.m. Sunday or Monday, whatever it would have been, Monday morning. Woke up, you're just like, you're trying to get back on schedule. I'm like trying to, I have so many things. We have no food. I got laundry to do. Like, you're just trying to get settled back into life. I didn't even know they were playing until my dad texted me. And he was like, hey, they can't miss a three tonight. And I looked up and they were like, started 8 for 8. You know, they couldn't miss in the first
Timana
quarter.
Couldn't miss.
And I'm like, oh, look at that. They're playing a game. So then I flipped it. I had no idea they were playing last night because I assumed it's the national championship and you're not going head to head against your feeder product.
The NFL has taught us nothing is sacred anymore.
The worst part of this was me having to have the Blazer game on my iPad, but not paying attention to about 67% of it. Maybe a little more than that, if I'm being honest.
Because it's a national, like, I don't like college basketball, but it's a national championship game.
I also didn't think they'd beat Denver, and then they went up, and they couldn't stop missing, and I'm like, oh my God, they're going to win.
I live bet Denver. Whenever they have a lead against a good team, live bet the other team. They've done this like 5 times this in the last 2 months.
Well, Gordon, Denver couldn't make threes in the first half.
They're coming off of an emotional win, too. They just beat San Antonio in a game winner in an iconic moment for the league.
I know.
And, like, of course they're coming out flat.
And then Gordon got hot in the fourth quarter.
And the Blazers finally started missing shots.
And
there you go.
Just like, give me ball.
So Temani Kamara is more the story, I think, of anything else for the Blazers side of this, because he had 20 points in the first half. He was 8 of 13 from 3, 10 of 16 from the field. He had 30 points, 5 rebounds, and he was being pesky on defense as he always
like
is.
He drew like 4 charges or something.
Now, look.
He's had a couple of those this year where it just randomly like, oh, look at that. Went for 30. Couldn't miss.
He's
on a heater.
He's on a heater.
From 3, just, and I know it's only a couple games in this month, he's 56%. Last month, the entire month, he's 37.5%.
That's a realistic number.
I think they put on the broadcast yesterday, they put one of those images up. It's either right after the game or during. I think he's shooting like 46% in the last all of March in the couple games. Like, he is through the roof efficient from three right now. And I was listening to Haberstroh, and he was basically like, if he's going to shoot like this from three, like high volumes, he's shooting 7.1 threes per game. Mm-hmm. If he's going to shoot 40%, you have to reevaluate what you think the ceiling of a player like that can be. Now, I don't think he's ever going to have a handle. Can he create some kind of post-up game at some point in his career, being what he is at 6'8"?
Right.
I don't know, but it's not just like stopping and planting himself in the corner. He's hitting these coming off of screens, handoffs. Like, he's starting to get them in different ways. And so I think Temani Kamara is the story. The other story is that he fouled out in this game, and it was the dumbest foul call I have seen in quite some time, his sixth foul. It was off of a free throw. He was in between two Nuggets, including Jokic. They kind of got a little tangled. The ball got tipped. Jokic then threw his arms up to complain, and the ref called the delayed call, and it was his sixth foul, and he fouled out with about 2 and some change.
Right.
and they ended up going to overtime because the Nuggets couldn't hit the game winner at the buzzer.
That was a great play by Rob Will to kind of stay in between because I thought Jokic was going to shoot it.
Made him hesitate.
He kind of wanted to go for the alley-oop, and then he didn't know what to do. When they got the ball to him in the paint, you're like, all right, this game's over.
Look, I know the Rob Will injury stuff is there. I won't be shocked if we re-sign him, and I know you're going to laugh because they drafted Young Hansen, but as you missed as you were out, Young Hansen's going to get a supermax to be here because Andrew Turing will never be an owner as long as Young Hansen is not on the team.
I love how we cheated to get him, too. I missed that story.
Well, you know, you got to do what you do. You ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Of all the guys, what are we doing here?
2 years
it's
before
like
we
when the, it's like when Lake Sheestrunk was a part of the Ducks cheating in college football recruiting. Like, he's a five-star kid. What happened to that guy? Nothing. He didn't do anything.
Forgot about that player.
Yeah, he looked like he was going to be a beast.
He was one that was alive. Yeah. I know you feel how you feel about Rob Will.
Yeah.
I thought he played really good defense when he was on Jokic. He doesn't fall for everything Jokic does. Like, Jokic is the pivot master. He's really good and really disciplined. I thought he was pretty good last night.
Mm-hmm.
Denny made six shots, ended up with 26 points. We have a foul merchant on our team. Can we just be honest about it?
It sucks, dude. It genuinely sucks.
It's
let's be honest. It's okay. We can take the rubber gloves off and the kitty gloves or whatever you want. Like, it sucks.
I don't always enjoy watching him play, but he does don the jersey and he gets things done.
I mean, look, he can be a good part of a good team. Him being your number one option sucks because a lot of their offense in the fourth quarter was get out of the way. I'm bullying my way to the hoop, right-handed and right-handed only. And if you take away my first opportunity to lay the ball in, guess what I have left in my bag? Literally nothing. I'm not a great shooter. I don't have a good post game. Like, that's my one thing. And if my one thing doesn't work, there's not a lot of pivot points for him. They couldn't make a shot in the last 6-7 minutes of that game. And so much of it was just Denny going downhill right-handed and missing. There were some ticky-tack fouls. Sure, the Kamara one was ridiculous. He got tossed
on. I didn't like that. I really hated
it. I didn't like it either. But you also ended up taking more free throws than they did because Denny's a foul merchant. And so I can complain about fouls one way when that's what our best player does every game. He just goes downhill. He gets to the free throw line. Mm-hmm. Can't make a shot, and he goes for 25 points because he makes 15 free throws. I don't enjoy watching it most nights.
Yeah.
And last night that was just a brutal loss, especially considering where they're at. And if they won that game and stole it, their chances of the 8 seed were really strong. Now you got San Antonio. I know Wemby got banged up, so we'll see how that looks. I still don't know what your chances are to beat them without Wemby in the lineup. Like, that was a massive game for them to blow a 19-point lead, 18, whatever it was in the
18.
Second half. 18-point
They blew
lead.
An 18-point lead. They got up by as many as 18. Another part of this that I'm curious about, and I may have missed, or maybe this is just the flow of the game, because I do have another Blazer-adjacent segment I want to do coming up next. Is there any reason Donovan didn't seem to play a whole lot in the fourth quarter?
He actually had
his first good game in a couple games. He had a couple
they were subbing him and Rob Williams out. Well, I noticed he wasn't the primary defender on Jokic.
No.
They didn't put him on him. They wanted him to come over to try to block shots.
He's too slow.
The secondary. He can't guard him out on the perimeter.
Well, he struggles with anybody that's super high-level skilled or much more athletic. I'm just kind of curious why he didn't play much. He finished with 18-12. And I went and looked at his fouls. I was like, did I miss foul? He had zero fouls.
Yeah, I got the.
Yeah, that was a little confusing to me, too.
Rob, they wanted Rob because they tried to have him come help.
But
and
you
then
got
Gordon started hitting threes because that's who he was guarding, and he sloughed off or tried to double, and he was too slow to get back out.
Yeah.
So they put Rob in because he could try to guard Jokic one-on-one, at least move around to stay in front of him.
They had Tamani on Jokic for a while there, too, because until he got into foul trouble and fouled out. But
they put Thibault on him a little bit late in the game,
I guess my question there would be more like, I hear what you're saying. It makes sense, but also – you got outscored by 14 points in the fourth quarter. Like, at some point, you need to shake up your lineup and can't just be like, well, this is the best lineup because we're quicker. Like, that didn't benefit you. So I just was a little confused by that.
I did enjoy getting to see Scoot Henderson play closing minutes instead of Sidy Sissoko. That was nice. Our third overall pick, having a chance at, you know, playing a little bit in crunch time in his third year in the NBA.
Weird vibe when he missed that three kind of at the end. It was one of their last
seconds. Wasn't going to win anyways, but it's like desperation
with
12 seconds to go.
I know,
it felt like five on one. He's like,
yeah, they were down five.
Shoot
and
it.
Denny on the replay, you could see him, he just says, just go. And almost like either a give up or they like let him shoot just to be like.
He hit a big one at the end of regulation, though. Like, he hit a three.
He cut it to three to keep him around.
Look at Scoot making a shot out there.
He was 4 of 8 from three in the game. That's not like he was.
His percentage is actually going to. If he doesn't go completely crater, his percentage.
I don't know why nobody. The bigger question was why nobody was running out or filling on a wing.
I mean, I think they just waved the white flag. You're down by, was there 10, 11 seconds left?
You were down five with like 14 seconds.
If he hits that three, you're down two.
It's down two. I mean, now it's,
yeah. A follow-up on their next game and some story that came out about our beloved Blazers. I'll give that to you coming up next on 105.1 The Fan.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
We have a lot to get to in the third and fourth hour of the radio programs, including a mail sack, 503-864-6326. That's the Fan text line. Good morning to everybody out there. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Durant's break back in full force.
It's a juicy sack. Early submission solid.
Good.
It's shaping up very nicely.
Good to know. Good to know. We got a Masters week. We'll eventually get to some of that stuff as the week continues to go on.
The whole weather's going to be perfect all weekend, baby.
I know.
No issues at Augusta.
I had never heard the old line from Gary McCord.
What's his butt?
The bikini wax line.
I don't know if I've heard that one either.
Oh, that's what got him banned from CBS's coverage.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know Gary McCord
was.
Oh, you don't remember Gary McCord?
Things were fast and firm. It was a hot week.
And he says like glass. Might as well use bikini wax.
Yeah.
And he said it as a guy was getting ready to putt. And they booted him out.
They can't call it anymore.
Off the coverage.
They're going to do that with Jason Day one of these days. Have you seen Jason Day's outfit? He's doing the stupid Malbourne stuff again, which I just have to ask. Does anybody wear
Malbourne?
Malbourne. My apologies. Have you ever seen anybody wear Malbourne?
They got somebody else on tour wearing it,
you know somebody? Tell me you're not wearing Malbourne gear playing golf.
I don't hate all of Malbourne's gear. And I will tell you, my buddy that I told you brought his
ornithology collection.
My buddy that brought his daughter to our round and had to leave.
Yes,
and he's new into golf. Like he's a super big diehard golf guy,
big Malbon guy.
Every time I see him, I feel like he's wearing a jean biker vest, but it says Malbon on it.
That's what they're doing.
Yeah,
the Masters hates Jason Day. if they had the opportunity to say we can unilaterally kick him out of the tournament, they would do it. But he's got exemptions and he's automatically qualified for it. Yeah. They can't stand him.
We can get into that a little bit because I had one of our listeners was like, I actually know. He like knows one of the CE or one of the people that runs Malbon. He offered him as a guest like 2 years ago, and I was like, "Oh, I'm kind of interested."
I mean, they're ruffling feathers in the golf. It's not my cup of tea, but they certainly are great getting their word out there. I don't know if it's leading to people buying their product.
It's gonna be the new White Claw. You'll have it on you in like a year or two. Actually, it's delightful, comfortable, and breathable. It's perfect for dads.
That's a good poll.
So Mark Stein's reporting, to no shocking development, Tom Dundon is, according to a lot of sources around the league, and Mark Stein. He is shopping super hard at coaching options. And he's not saying that they won't hire Tiago Splitter. He's evaluating Tiago. And
you don't need to make a call right now. There's no need to.
But Tom Dundon is being heard talking to a lot of coaches right now, or at least evaluating the coaching market. I'm not going to try to guess what Blazer fan is thinking at large. But Tiago, the future. You know, the shakeup with Dundon. I said before you got back, my biggest takeaway from his press conference, beside how bizarre it was to see a new ownership press conference, we've never seen that in our modern life.
No.
My biggest takeaway is they're making a massive trade this summer. This team is literally in the purgatory of the NBA.
They're exactly where you don't want to be.
You do not want to be in your spot.
You have future assets to play with.
You may lose your first-round pick just to get swept by the Thunder, and I don't know what experience that's going to do for you, but you may make the playoffs. You may not make the playoffs.
Yeah.
And if he makes a massive trade, to me, it's a sign that, and he said as much at his press conference, this has not been acceptable for 4 years now. So I think they're obviously going to make a massive move. Coaching might be another part of that, of what coach is going to be the coach that Tom Dundon and company end up bringing in.
Yeah, look, I missed that last week. Obviously, we talked about it the week that you were out before, knowing that it was on the horizon and how big of a week it was. I mean, that's a monumental week for Blazer fans. I don't know if
historical.
It turns out great or bad. I mean, who knows what the future has in store for us.
Yep.
But just a massive story that we have a new owner. And what a novel owners are allowed to do press conferences?
They are.
Are they allowed to answer questions?
They are.
And they're allowed to have like a sense of urgency and want to win and kind of lay a groundwork for kind of pushing the thing forward.
In some markets, it's encouraged.
Is it? No, it can't be, though. I'm a little worried, though. I think he's going to move the team to Raleigh. I'm a little concerned about all that. Look, just refreshing, I watched a press conference from Hawaii one day when Teddy was taking a nap because I was just curious what he had to say. And I'm like, this is too big of a thing to miss even while I'm on vacation. And it was incredibly refreshing just to hear honest commentary from a guy about, we need to up the standard here. We need to have higher expectations. Where we're at is not good enough. The last 4 years have not been good enough. And I agree with you 100%. I think there's going to be a massive move this offseason. The coaching angle of it is interesting to me. I don't know how you accurately gauge or judge the job that Tiago Splitter has done. Do I love every call that he's made or every out-of-bounds set or every rotation? Of course not. They've also been decimated by injuries this year, and it's not a roster that's going to compete at the highest level in the league. So what do you expect? And I had a funny back and forth with Morang while you were on vacation because he was concerned about Dundon and does he have enough money? And, well, if you want to go to the – it was funny, the Michael Malone stuff made me think about it. If you want to shop in the Michael Malone market, Tom Dundon's probably not your owner. And I just chuckled and I thought the last coach we hired because he was buddies with the general manager and he had 1 year of assistant coaching experience.
We literally didn't interview candidates for the general manager job.
We just gave the job to the guy that we promoted from within. We didn't even interview anybody. And look, Joe's made some good moves and some bad moves. I don't know what the future's going to hold for him. Mm-hmm. We didn't even interview anybody. And so like this, it's a very refreshing thing for having somebody come in,
I know,
have a fresh set of eyes on it and say, let's look at all this, all right? How do we feel about Tiago? How does the rest of the year go? Okay, do we want to keep the staff together? Do you want to shake it up? Does a trade depend on it? I also have always maintained and will always maintain 90% of winning in the NBA is roster construction and player acquisition. 10% is coaching. When the Warriors are banged up and they don't have Steph Curry healthy, how good of a coach is Steve Kerr?
They're not in the playoffs.
When they have Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and Steph Curry, what are they doing? Yeah. They're winning champion. Like, that's the NBA. And
the Joe Mazzulla take of, I don't care about coach of the year. This is players. This is stupid.
Yes.
Don't ask me about this.
Thank you, Joe Mazzulla. You're right. If I have a good team, I have a chance at winning. And so Joe Cronin is the much bigger story to me. And what they do in the offseason is a much bigger story to me. But it's nice just to have somebody come in and be willing to turn over every rock and say, how do we get better?
Yeah.
Instead of somebody who's living out of town in a penthouse who has no idea what's going on in the day in and day out of the franchise.
Nor do they really truly care because
they
know that people will still show up and spend money.
They're making money hand over fist.
And I think that was kind of an underrated important point that I may not have said while you were gone. Him basically saying at the press conference, along with obviously Andrew Cheung, which if you didn't catch him, he was hilarious. He barely talked.
And he was great.
This is clearly just about making money for him, nothing else.
But and put some orange chicken in the Moda Center, damn it.
Dundon was like, this is a business to me. And so he cares about a lot of the other stuff, probably too much. But part of running a successful business is somebody who doesn't have the most money as an owner and making money. How do you make money? You win.
People will come.
So, like, in a weird way, him not being as rich, I don't have concerns. Like, if he couldn't afford to pay a contract, the NBA wouldn't have said yes to him being the owner.
That's not the case in Carolina with the NHL team. He pays for the team. He cuts costs in other areas of owning the team.
And he will do that here as
Without a doubt.
But to make the most money as an owner, you have to be good and want people to come to your product if you're going to up ticket prices and whatnot.
Right.
And so obviously he's going to care a great deal and be invested emotionally and financially in making the team good. This idea that, like, you got to be the richest owner. Like, I want a Balmer. And there's only one that can afford to just outright pay for their own stadium.
What is a $4 billion stadium?
Exactly. You know who one of the more cash-poor owners in the league is?
Clay Bennett. What's he doing with all of his Supermax guys? Did they all get extensions?
They all got extensions.
Oh, look at that, because they're winning and they're making money.
So, and yeah, he may sell. He may top out of this and say, I can make a few $1 billion and not have to keep running. Yeah, maybe that's going to happen to him. It's been running just fine.
Yeah.
You hire the right people. You don't have to be the richest dude. Yeah, you're going to skimp from time to time on some guys. You may not like that they bypass the mid-level for this guy and he goes to a different place. That's absolutely going to happen. He's going to make mistakes. This idea that, like, oh, he's not as rich, I want a richer owner, or, oh, he's not from here, I'm worried he's going to move. Like, all of that stuff is just...
There was a lot of Portland
deep-seated
stuff.
Fear stuff coming out of us instead of just saying...
The small market mindset of, dude, such all, a everybody's scared and shaking in their boots of...
Yeah.
I'm glad we have somebody new in town who's going to shake things up a little bit because we need it, man. This thing's been stale for a long time.
I'm excited to see what's going to happen, but the report from Mark Stein is evaluating the coaching landscape as we speak. It may end up being Tiago, but we'll have to wait and see on that one.
Yeah.
Loaded third hour and the mail sack in the fourth hour. Dirt and Sprague, we're back with more on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you
it's
get your
reality
podcast.
Reality Gaze, let's love.